Waiting for your sign? Here it is. Shop Labor Day appliance deals at Lowe's before they're gone. Get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, get free delivery, haul away, installation and parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan on purchases of $999 or more. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/16 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Little Fish. Now, the reason I'm talking to you before the actual show starts is because we had a little audio flub this week. The microphones unfortunately failed, but luckily for us, the microphones on the cameras that we were using to record the episode, they did work. But unfortunately, they are not quite the same quality as the ones we usually use, and so we sound a little bit like we're at the bottom of the well for this episode. But I've listened back to it. Wonderful tech elves have done lots of lovely magic to make it as good as possible, so hopefully it will not impede your enjoyment of this episode too much. Really hope you enjoy it. We really wanted to put it out because the facts were so good. We had a great time recording it. We think it's a really great episode, so I hope you can get past the bad audio. Apart from that, there's not really much else to say, I suppose. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate every single one of you who listens to the episodes, and really, we wouldn't be able to do this without you, so thank you very much. We don't get to say that very often, so yeah, thanks. Okay, anyway, enough from me. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Little Fish. On with the podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Little Fish, our weekly, regular audience fact show. My name's Andrew Hunter-Murray. I'm here with James Harkin and Anna Tajitsky, and we've gathered with your best facts from the last 7 days. So let's kick off. Let's have a fact.
Doug Steen is who this fact is from. Doug, D-U-G, no O.
Cool.
Very interesting. Then that's not even the most interesting part of this email. Doug Steen says that reindeer... The etymology is a combination of the Old Norse hrein and deer, where deer means animal and hrein means reindeer. So when we say reindeer, we're actually saying reindeer.
Time wasting.
Animal is time wasting. It's so like ATM machine and PIN number.
So we should just call it a rein?
We should just be calling it a rein.
Feels like that'll lead to more confusion.
Yeah.
Does that mean all animals are deers?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, that must be confusing for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, another deer?
Yeah.
Oh, you got killed by a deer.
That's
a good
point.
Have you fed the deer today? Yes, deer.
Hold on a second. You've blown this over. Yeah, a deer, a standard deer.
Yep.
So we get that from Old Norse as well, and it just means animal. I guess maybe it's the only animals they had. Don't quote
sure
me on that.
That's true. Definitely true, yeah. Don't write it, Vikings.
Oh, bloody runes filling up your inbox. Oh, yeah, going to come to your town and chop your head off. Yeah, steal all your gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great fact.
Only deer.
Really good.
Yeah, although it did get quite confusing in the email, which I should repeat, from Doug, who says, reindeer means reindeer animal, and thus, brackets, reindeer animal animal, or brackets, reindeer animal animal animal, ad infinitum, which I'm not sure quite makes sense. I think he's saying if you say reindeer animal, you're actually saying... reindeer animal animal.
Yeah,
you're
I've never heard anyone say that. Reindeer animal.
People very rarely say reindeer animal.
No, because there's not another meaning of the word reindeer that isn't the animal.
I don't think there is, no. No. So that wouldn't come up. But aside from that, a great email, I thought.
Very good.
Yeah.
Here's one from Christian Berlin. And it's also a bit Scandi. In fact, it's very Scandi. Christian says that the only national anthem that mentions Sweden in any way is the Polish national anthem. and the Polish national anthem basically mentions loads of different countries, according to the website Brilliant Maps, which actually is a really good website. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it is a really good website. They do loads of amazing stuff. But I've checked this on other websites, and it's definitely true.
Is it like, we will beat Sweden into the ground?
There is a bit of that in there, yeah.
Okay.
You're Polish, Anna. You should know this.
Of
you should,
course,
sing, you should sing it every morning.
Yes.
Like Andy just... thanks his family due to the British National Anthem.
Absolutely, yeah.
I only know the original Polish and I wasn't sure about the translation.
No, of course, because of course the Polish word for Sweden is very different.
Actually.
The Swedish National Anthem mentions the North.
As a sort of euphemism for Sweden.
I see.
Countries, but it doesn't say Sweden by name. You know, the British national anthem doesn't say Britain, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have anything, does it? I guess that's because it's so old.
I just think you don't say your own name as often as you say other people's, do you?
I do.
I never say the name. Of course you do. You speak about yourself in the third person.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
Most of us. Yeah.
Well, what about O Canada or Advanced Australia Fair?
Good point, yeah.
Or
point.
Go on New Zealand.
Call back.
Oh,
but
great.
We do mention one country in the British National Anthem.
Scots.
In some versions.
The later verses have some rather decidedly unwoke stuff about rebellious Scots to crush.
Yeah, you're right. There is a verse about someone called Marshall Wade who's going to crush the rebellious Scots. But that is very much non-canon, I would say. It was kind of verse that was invented in the 19th century because in those days we were a little bit anti-Scots.
Was it?
Whilst now we're all mates.
But now that it was put in later.
There are a few like verses which were sung for a little while, but they weren't sung afterwards.
Interesting.
And that's one of those.
It's non-canon. Although, ironically, if you were going to crush rebellious Scots, you would probably need quite a few cannon.
Yeah.
Multiple cannon. Good use of the plural cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Always something to enjoy, isn't it, the plural canon?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Singular plurals are terrific, you know, or unexpected plurals. Courts martial, lovely.
Courts martial are beauty.
I mean, a bit of a hackneyed example.
Exhibit
martial.
I believe that's in the German national anthem.
Really nice. Oh, can I do one?
Yes.
Here's a fact from Tony. Tony says, I have a fact for you. The continents of America and Europe are moving apart at the same speed as a fingernail grows. This means if you stand at Land's End, which is the southwesterlymost point of the UK, and point west, your fingernail is stationary and you are moving backwards. No notes. I think that's terrific.
Yeah, really good.
But both sides are moving away from each other, right?
I guess.
The way I thought you were going to go is that the end of your fingernail is always the same distance from America, no matter what happens.
Oh, that's a real mind exploder.
You know what? I've heard that fact before, and I always think of it whenever I cut my fingernails.
Do you?
I do. I think because my fingernails grow relatively fast.
Yep.
Like you.
How do you know relative? Do you ask other people how fast theirs grow?
Relative to what I imagine they should grow. I didn't say what it was relative to.
Oh gosh, has it been that long since I cut my fingernails? They've grown so fast.
That's why I do think a lot.
I find it's incredibly variable, so I am sometimes extremely surprised. In fact, right now, to be honest.
It is variable. Okay, this is the great thing.
Oh.
Your fingernails grow more in the summer
in
a hot country.
Which we've become.
Well, yes.
So due to global warming, we're all going to be like RuPaul. Does RuPaul have long fingernails? It was the first person I could think of.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I'll be honest.
It was a great reach. But that's it's probably due to just more blood flow in your fingertips, basically.
Is it?
Yeah, when it's a bit hotter. There was a doctor called William Bennett Bean who spent 35 years from 1941 studying his own fingernail growth. He concluded that nothing has any effect on fingernail growth. I think he was wrong. Just a bit of a kick in the teeth there.
I know someone who cuts one fingernail a day because they think it's more efficient.
Loopy, it's not.
Than doing all at once.
Just so wrong.
The extra work that's being done is finding the clippers, getting them out of the cabinet, not ever putting them away again. If you're doing that 10 times instead of once, I'm sorry, there's just no way that's
made.
Also, he cuts their fingernails every 10 days. He's a psycho.
I agree. Interrogate further out of
your toes as well.
Toes.
20 days.
And 20 days is about right.
20 days is about right. Yeah, but you'll have a constantly shifting border across your...
I used to say that to my mum. She used to say, if we clean up a little bit all the time, then it will save us time overall. And I was like, no, the best thing to do is to make a load of mess and then all at once clean it all up. That's the most efficient way of doing it.
It is, which is why you can't use that argument as mother. You've just got to say, I like it being tidy more than 1% of the time, okay? I don't like living in a shit pile because once a month you want to clean it.
No, I think that is sort of sensible, the fingernails thing. I think I'm going to start doing that with my hair. I'm just going every day. Yes, just another 5 haircuts a day, please.
Yeah, I'm just going to brush one tooth every 20 minutes.
Stop the podcast. Sorry, that's a James tooth. Anyway, this is a fact from James Relf. Something I came across which I thought was a bit fishy. and hadn't heard us mention, is that the Soviet Typhoon-class submarines were so big, and they were meant to be under, I was going to say ground, but underwater for such long periods, they had a swimming pool, gym, sauna, and aviary.
No.
That's funny. Is that extraordinary?
Those poor birds.
I know, it's not that fun, is it? But maybe that if birds in a cage, do they care if it's above water or below water?
Why do they have an aviary, though?
To keep morale up.
Yeah, and to sing.
It doesn't keep morale up as much as one dog, does it?
Unlimited cuttlefish for them to have in their cage.
Yes.
They're lucky. Anything.
Is it like canaries in a coal mine, maybe?
Yeah,
because they notice maybe that when there's been a pressure change, if all the canaries are dead,
they all drop dead. Yeah. What do you do?
Nothing. You're in a submarine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think must be morale. Also, you can sing the sea ditties and have them accompany you.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, thank you.
That's nice stuff, but you wouldn't have a dog on a submarine for a start.
I think a dog would be more unhappy than
poos.
The poos, because it's already a flushing poos on the submarine, isn't it? Because
it's really annoying to flush the poos, especially when you do want to poo every 35 minutes.
Oh, fuck. Oh, the dog that James trained.
That's amazing.
It is very amazing. Oh, something else very cool that he added is that he mentions they're absolutely massive things and they were meant for missiles they were carrying, and they had a double hull layout. So there was an outer wall that was like water filled. It was kind of like a tent in and outy, and then the in-between bit was water filled, encasing an inner wall. So, as he points out, if you took a toy submarine and put it in the indoor pool there, you'd have a sub in water in a sub in water in a sub in water.
Amazing.
Really nice.
Like the Russian doll of and it's Soviet.
There we go.
Very good. Yeah.
Nice fact.
So good. Another Wari one.
Oh yeah.
After leaving the Marx Brothers, Zeppo Marx invented the clamp which held the Little Boy atomic bomb in place on his flight to Hiroshima.
No way.
What? Yeah, Zeppo Marx. He was an inventor, it turned out.
So he invented what?
He invented the clamp which held the Little Boy atomic bomb. So what it is, it's a clamp which holds cylindrical things together. Do you know if you have a hose pipe and you need to attach the end of the hose pipe onto your sprinkler thing?
It's the bane of my life.
Oh, those things that never work. Yeah,
yeah, those little metal things that never work, and you have to tighten them, and they kind of make a seal. It's not that.
Okay.
But it's very similar to that. Because when I saw an image of it, I thought, oh, it's one of those things, so I can just say that thing and everyone will know what I mean and they'll know what the clamp is. But then I looked more carefully and it's very slightly different.
Because I think it is good that they didn't go with that clamp device for the first atomic bomb, because those things never, ever work. And I don't want a loose atomic bomb rolling around in the plastic.
No, because whenever you use those, you get the sprinkler and it's not working. You turn it off to your face and it sprays off into your face. Imagine if that happened with an atomic bomb.
But that's only because Jerry the mouse has been standing on the hose and there's a huge bulb of water that's built up behind it. Yeah.
But yeah, Zeppo, he was like a proper inventor. Wow. He invented a wristwatch that checks your heartbeat and can tell you if something was going wrong with your heartbeat, which
the
is
Apple
like
watch.
Yeah, like a Fitbit, right?
That's
wow.
Incredible.
Talking like 1969, he invented that.
Oh my lord.
Isn't that was a Marx brother.
Yeah.
Was he the lesser? There were three of them, right?
There was four, yeah.
Leave Dan here for this.
And there was a fifth who was, I think, a non-combatant. I mean, I don't mean in the Second World War. I just mean like he was not in the Marx Brothers. You know, the Marx Brothers was Chico, yeah. Harpo, Groucho, Zeppo.
Yeah.
And I think there was
George,
Ringo.
Like the Kardashians. I feel like there's one Kardashian that's not there.
Susan.
I think what you're thinking of actually is that it was the guy from Black Sabbath.
Ozzy Osbourne.
The Osbournes. So there was one Osbourne who was never in the Osbournes.
Oh, really?
She didn't want to be in the TV series.
Anyway, so yeah, he also, one other thing he invented, this is really cool. He invented a thing where you could put two beehives together without all the bees fighting each other.
How on earth do you invent that? Was it a pheromone
thing? It has like a reverse bend, which has a queen excluder in it, because it's the queens that cause all of the fighting. Oh, so wow. They basically, all the bees can go in and out, but the queens can't go from one to the other. So it stops the drones and stuff from fighting each other.
Is that?
That's really funny.
Which of those inventions, the clip for the Hiroshima bomb, the Fitbit, or the anti-bee fight excluder, do you think was the biggest invention? Which one did you want to talk about in chat shows?
I mean, I think they're all completely inconsequential.
What, the Hiroshima?
The clamp. Who cares? It's like, oh, like the Marx Brothers here with this idea for the clamp. Okay, well, that's great, but it's not.
Yeah, but isn't that like, otherwise they couldn't have picked it up. They would have just had a big bomb sitting in America and not knowing what to do.
I think it was quite important.
I guess.
You think someone else might have made a clamp if he hadn't?
I just think if you're in charge of the Manhattan Project and you're in charge of this hugely significant doomsday device, there's just a risk that if you get one of the Marx Brothers involved, like it's about PR as much as anything else.
It's like, when the Three Stooges not available.
Imagine if we had invented the ultimate weapon and the guy responsible for delivering it to the battlefield was Michael McIntyre. We just think, hang on, is he going to do a bit?
I reckon McIntyre is a secret agent working for the government.
100%.
The light entertainment stuff is just a cover.
Why do you think that? Because no one could possibly devote their life to that.
No, because he's so good at it, obviously. Yeah. He must be getting a lot of help.
I see.
From the government. You see how I turned that around?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The government, if it's good at anything, it's drafting comedy routines.
I got another from George, who says, I thought this was fascinating when I overheard it mentioned by a geography teacher. Quite interesting.
Always promising.
Overheard it mentioned by a geography teacher. So it's unclear if George was in the lesson and not really listening and just sort of overheard it, or if George was in the pub next to someone who's clearly a geography teacher, you know, because he's wearing corduroy or whatever. Sorry, geography teachers. Anyway, I love this fact.
Go on.
The Romford to Upminster branch of the London Overground, okay? It's a branch of the North London. Marks the furthest line of ice penetration during an ice age.
Wow, interesting.
Now listen, I've been fooled before by ice age related facts.
Yes, you have.
Elephants in Cornwall made the road network there.
But the ice definitely didn't get as far as Cornwall.
No, but it did get as far as the Hornchurch Till. Now, if anyone's looking for a metal band name, I think Hornchurch Till is actually quite good. It's a glacial deposit, and it contains all these rocks and fossils, which were basically carried down from the Midlands, further north of London, 450,000 years ago, the most extreme ice age of the last 2.5 million years. This one got as far south as North London, and then it stopped.
Well, we'll want to go south of the river.
Not this time of night. And basically, there are all these rocks and fossils in there that you can tell because of where they belong in
That's
the land
awesome.
That they've been carried down.
It's really
so cool. It's quite, I think it's quite metal. It was discovered in 1892 by a geologist called T.V. Holmes. Holmes is in Sherlock Holmes. Quite hard to Google him because you search T.V. Holmes, you just find like the latest Sherlock series, whatever. Exactly, yeah. And this ice age, it's so cool, is the reason that the Thames go through London, because the Thames used to go through East Anglia, north of London, came out of the sea in Clacton, in Essex, and it was pushed south into another valley by the advance of the ice sheet.
You know what I used to think, and I thought I was a genius thinking this, that the rocks at Stonehenge were brought down by that ice age, because that line where Stonehenge is pretty much as far as it got as well.
The A3,
and I was sure, like, I absolutely nailed the origin of Stonehenge, and it turned out it's just definitely not true. I have plenty of evidence that people carried them over from Wales.
Well, that doesn't stop BBC publishing articles about the origin of Stonehenge every 2 weeks. It's definitely not true, so I think you should give them a call.
But there's all this stuff of, like, Ice Age Essex. There's the Clacton Elephant Bed and the West Thurrock Lion Pit. There's all this, like, rock stuff.
Yeah, really cool.
I just love it. So anyway, the Thames. Just think, if the Thames hadn't been pushed south, London wouldn't have a river going through it now.
Just London wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Well, no, it'd be there, but without the river going through it. We'd have all the bridges and stuff. Nothing. So there you go. Food for thought.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, George. I love that fact.
Yeah, really cool. That's amazing. What about this one from Kate Haynes? This is that in World War II, one of the plans put forward to stop Hitler, which was a very important aim at the time, was to feed him carrots laced with estrogen in the hopes that this would feminize him and make him meek and mild, like his sister, apparently. I didn't know he had a meek and mild sister. Did he have a meek and mild sister, sort of Gertrude Hitler?
I think there was a sister called Paula.
Paula, she says.
It's bad, isn't it? Say, I think his sister was called Paula. I know perfectly well she was called Paula.
Did she also have the little moustache? That was that family trait.
Family trait. Oh, dear. I don't know how meek and mild she was. But they're also...
Probably meeker and milder, though, which it wouldn't be difficult.
That's true. There were also his in-laws, if you remember, the Scouse branch of the family.
Yeah.
But that's because he had a a different sister's husband, maybe, or Alwa. No, Alwa, maybe his brother married someone who only lived in Liverpool.
And then one of them moved to America, didn't they? And went on the sort of chat show scene a little bit. Not chat show so much as like going to theatres and talking about my terrible cousin Hitler.
Can't you jump the terrible in at the start. Make clear your side you're on.
But yeah, so...
This is one of those mad plans. Yeah, and also apparently it was also hoped that his smoother skin and large breasts would make him a laughing stock among the military men and world leaders.
You don't know they're going to be large before you feed him the carrots. I'm sorry. I think that's. I think this is all a bit of a fever dream from whoever's planning this.
Maybe it depends how many carrots he gives someone. Does, like, the boob size depend on how much estrogen you have? I don't suppose it does it?
I don't know, actually. Maybe.
Well, we're not, James and I are not the experts, and we're not expecting you to be either.
No, I'm not, just because I have them. I've never really looked into how estrogen carrot consumption corresponds. But Kate Ames does specify that she found this at the World Carrot Museum, this fact. So I guess that's why they had to throw in the carrot fact.
The physical carrot museum or the online one?
Oh, I think the online one, yes.
Oh, there is a great carrot.
That website, I think it has gone into kind of QI folklore as like one of the greatest ever websites devoted to one subject.
Okay, yeah.
It's just one person who collects a lot of amazing carrot facts.
So good. I just always love these plans. I was thinking mad there should be a competition between plans to kill Castro and plans to kill Hitler, which were maddest. And there are so many which involve having to surreptitiously feed them stuff that they'd never eat or slip into their... nightgowns, things that they, you know, how what were the logistics of this? How likely was it? And if it was likely, has it happened to lots of other people we don't know about? Like, was Ming Campbell originally really a vicious person? And do you know what I mean? If they had these plans a lot, but didn't work.
Do you think how much effort, time, money is going to go into making Ming Campbell a particularly relaxed guy?
Yes,
do you want to do anything for international listeners on Ming Campbell? Former leader of the Liberal Democrat Party. Not especially well remembered here either, actually. I think we should do something for domestic listeners on.
I think they'll all have heard of him. Well, our Kiwi New Zealand listeners. He just struck me as quite a gentle person. Yeah. So I thought maybe he didn't used to be until he was fed the carrots himself.
If you can get close enough to give Hitler some carrots, which got estrogen in, it feels like you're close enough to do something more.
Put a bomb in the carrots. And the bomb is attached to the case by a clamp that's been created by Miranda Hart. Now look, Tony Hancock is carrying an incredibly explosive pie.
And it's like the idea of like the War Department, and then outside you've just got a queue of all coming in for the things that happened. Like Diane Morgan, ready for duty. It's a very funny idea.
Yeah.
I have to make that show.
But not today, because we've reached the end of our fact time.
Soon.
Well, the good news is we're going to come on to fact allocations. So if you join Club Fish, at the top tier, friend of the podcast, then you will get one of our headline facts dedicated to you. If you want to check out Clubfish, just to say, go to patreon.com/clubfish. There are three different tiers. There are all sorts of good things there. There are bonus episodes. There are extra long episodes that James edits. There is all manner of stuff. And as I say, if you become a friend of the podcast, you will get a classy certificate sent to you with one of our facts that will become yours in perpetuity. So let's dish out a few more of those now.
Okay, here is a fact that is now under the custodianship of Alexandrana. And Alexandrana, your fact is that the World Puddle Jumping Championships bans fizzy drinks in case they improve participants' performance.
Would they?
And that's because it's kids. It's kids that do it.
Of course.
And it's whoever does the best sort of jumping. It's not necessarily most puddles. It's just whoever does. It's more like figure skating. It's all about your style.
Oh, is it? Because I would assume it was length. Or width, but okay, that makes more sense of style. That's more interesting to watch.
I'm not sure if it still exists, that competition, must admit.
Do we know how rigorous the drug testing is on the on the fizzy drink? How do you test for a fizzy drink? I bet there's no blood test that can do that.
Surely it affects your blood sugar a bit.
But couldn't you have just had a flat drink that was very sugary?
That's absolutely true. That's the loophole. Everyone's just fruit shooting up.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
That's really good.
Okay, here's another fact for Nicholas Romaro, and this is that the shuttlecocks used in professional badminton are made with real goose feathers, and they're always taken from the left wing. Because badminton is traditionally a very socialist sport.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Dad, that was from a guest.
Mark Mason.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because they spin different ways depending on what side of the bird they're on, don't they? Because they're intended to be used by the bird.
Yeah.
And so they're a particular shape for a spin. And you've got to have your shuttlecocks all spinning clockwise. I think the left wing spins clockwise.
I wonder if you had an aviary on a submarine, whether you might be able to farm those birds for your shuttlecocks for a bit of R&R for your sailors.
We don't know. That's not why they had it.
I don't know how big these submarines were. It sounds like they were very big. It does feel like a goose farm and a badminton court are going to... They're going to stress the Central Committee for approving the plans. Like,
there's no point having one and not the other.
I like the idea of it, because submarines are such a boring shape, aren't they? They're like two. You know, they're basically big fish shapes, effectively,
yeah,
aren't they?
For they've got some reason, obviously.
For a good, okay, but no, no.
So you're battering horse.
You want something that's going to go nicely through the water, and I think a fish is a good example of such a thing.
Yes, but what else goes through nicely through the water? A manta ray, right? Yeah. Imagine a manta ray-shaped submarine where it's basically one floor. It's basically a massive bungalow. Then you've got space for your badminton court and everything because it's so spread out.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
We'll get on to the MOD. Right, let's have another one. This one goes out to Danny Thomas. Danny, your fact, now and forever, is that the ancient Egyptians had pornographic papyruses.
Papyri?
Papyri, for sure.
Yeah.
But this is about the Turin Erotic Papyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's got various rude images on it, all in hieroglyphics, obviously. Squiggle, 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 bird.
Eye of Horus.
Yeah, and it's we're not quite sure what it was for, I think, but it was...
Aren't we, though?
Well, it was maybe for, you know, ancient Egyptian teenagers, or maybe it was a manual of some kind, or maybe it was just, you know, a prank. Funny prank.
Love the idea that in 4,000 years someone's going to find an old Playboy and go, we're not quite sure what they used this for.
It could have been that they plastered the pictures up to show people where brothels are.
Exactly.
Because that's what they always say, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, there's loads of like rude graffiti on this wall. Oh, that must be to point out where the brothel is.
A signpost. All the 15-year-old boys going, yeah, okay, sure it was.
Although, to kind of roll back immediately on that, the idea is like sailors come into a port and they don't necessarily speak the language. So they need to have photos. Mm-hmm. Photos? Drawings.
Drawings.
Etchings.
Rude etchings. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Here is one that is now under the custodianship of Sam. And Sam, your fact is that the world's only Cornish pasty museum is in Mexico. Okay.
Mexico. Yeah, love this. Although I think it might not be true anymore, actually. Oh, I have a feeling that they've got a Cornish pasty museum in Cornwall since then.
I remember there was, in fact, maybe even when we did this fact, they were talking about building it, weren't they? But what happened was a lot of Cornish miners went over to Mexico because they had expertise in tin mining. And in Mexico, they were going to mine stuff. And so they brought the Cornish pasty with them, I believe.
Yeah.
That is very... Well, I think... I'm just looking for an update now.
Oh, news coming in.
News flash. This is stostelchamber.co.uk. Plans are developing to establish the UK's first ever Cornish pasty museum.
Still developing.
It is hoped it will be ready for visitors in time for the 2016 season. So I don't... Sorry, the article didn't have a date on it. I don't think...
It didn't get built.
I don't think it got built.
This is what, for international listeners, British sort of big construction projects like this often do run over a bit, don't they? So...
Oh, yeah, I've just looked it up now. Yeah, it's now costing £10 billion.
Yeah. It only goes as far as Devon.
Very good. Okay, so here's another fact. This is for Naomi Robinson Dunbar. Naomi, enjoy this one. And this one is that 20% of people wake up wearing fewer clothes than they went to bed with.
It me.
It.
Oh, yeah,
it
you're feeling seen.
It me, I'm feeling so seen.
This is classic me. It's just a thing people say. It me, you know. Okay. That's me. It's an old...
Who comes in and steals them in the night?
No, it's normally the nightcap comes askew and gets discarded.
Do you think it's easier to subconsciously take off clothes than put on clothes?
100%. It is. Yeah.
Definitely, okay.
Of course it is.
Sorry, officer, I don't know how I arrived here in an extra jumper. You never get anyone saying that.
No, you're right.
But you often get people say, sorry, officer, I don't know what happened to my trousers.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's great. All right. Here's another one. Oh, I love this one. This one goes out to Lauren Castling. Lauren, your fact is there are people who mine for jeans. Denim jeans. This is it's in America, isn't it? There are all these old Levi's buried in mines and things. Because people got too hot when they were doing the mining, they took off their jeans.
Without even realising it.
People did used to get naked when they were mining, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
Was it so hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, people would go down into the mines and, you know, all the jeans would get... And they're obviously valuable now because they're so old and they're full of proper rivets and they're actually quite high quality clothes. So people sell them as cool ancient artifacts.
So what are we going to be mining for that those people left behind when mining for jeans?
Oh, I see.
Like their jean tweezers that they pick up the jeans
Probably
with?
Their jean tweezers, yeah.
Yeah?
That reminds me, I must just pluck a single hair from my eyebrow.
Stop the podcast!
This fact is now under the custodianship of Nicola. And Nicola... Oh. Dan Schreiber should be here to justify himself because this is one of his facts. And the fact was, Jesus had a monobrow. Can't remember what his evidence for this was, given that I've only seen circumstantial evidence that Jesus was even a historical character.
Okay. But all of them say, but if he did exist. Dan said there was someone who runs a blog of descriptions of Jesus by Tom Chivers. And at least three of these say that he had eyebrows meeting.
Okay.
Although another said he had hairs as white as snow.
Okay. Well, you might have.
Yeah.
Blondie.
And everywhere the pilot went, that Christ was sure to go. So Mary had a little lamb joke there.
Well, that's one for the kids.
One for the kids.
See?
That is a conscious pilot.
Yeah.
But then Mary was an actual character in the pilot.
Yeah, that would have been a lot better. A lot better. In fact, I almost think what I've done is amazing there.
Yeah.
As in, I need to adjust Mary had a little lamb to put in the character for the Bible. Pilot. Oh, dear.
I just think your brain works in extreme ways.
In very mysterious ways, I'd say. Right. Well, let's have another fact.
This is one for Henry Smith. Henry Smith, take this to your grave. That's a bit dark. Just take this with you every day. Ernest Shackleton's dog's names included Slippery, Slobbers, Satan, Painful, Swanker, Bummer, and Bob.
Bob?
Bobby, poor old Bob, ran out of inspiration at the end. Or Shackleton?
Which of those would you feel least confident shouting in the park if you'd lost them?
They've all got some problems. I mean, Bummer and Satan feel like the two least acceptable.
Swanker!
Swanker, yeah, true, yeah.
Swanker depends if you said something before, like, you know, if you said something that could be pluralized,
yeah.
Like hams wanker, like if you...
to pick something normal that you'd say in the park, hams wanker, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Just pick another biblical character.
Well, you insert your own noun. Yeah. There you go. Good old Shackleton.
I just loved how you were painting yourself into a corner.
I know.
As you were saying it, I was like, I can't think of anything. Certainly.
I felt it coming. Right. I felt it coming towards me. It was like that scene in Austin Powers with the very, very slow steamroller coming towards him. I'm going to have to finish this sentence.
Oh, dear. Well, that is 8 new fat custodians dished out. So congratulations to Henry, Nicola, Lauren, Naomi, Sam, Danny, Nicholas, and Alexandrana. You are now custodians of Fish Facts, and if you would like to be a custodian, just go to patreon.com/clubfish and sign up today. But that's it for this episode of Little Fish. I've had such a fun time, and I hope you guys have too. And I hope everyone listening has. Yeah. But for now, it's time for goodbye. We'll see you in a few days for another episode of No Such Thing as a Fish. Bye for now.